And before I go, I gotta do this. Sprinkles! Peace.
Hi, welcome back to Let Me Ask You Something, the weekly podcast where I, MD Pittman, talk to everyday ordinary people about something extraordinary in their lives. Now, this week I break my own rule because I don't talk to someone who is an ordinary everyday person, although he is. And we get into that in our conversation with DC Glenn, also known as DC the Brain Supreme, also known as one half of the R&B rap duo tag team. We talk about his renaissance of sorts with reinventing himself over and over through the years. And we talk about, obviously, his Geico commercial. But we get into a lot. It is a lengthy interview, so sit back and enjoy my conversation with DC Glenn.
So it looks like we are live. We are back for episode 7 in season 2 of Let Me Ask You Something, the podcast where I talk to ordinary, everyday people. And we don't have somebody very ordinary here. We have somebody who doesn't need much of an introduction. So let me just get off right now and say, let me ask you something, DC. How'd you come up with Whoop, There It Is?
Well, I was out one night drinking, and a big giant light shined upon me, and it felt like a UFO abduction. And this voice like, I have a song for you. Whoop, there it is. Go in peace. And then we made the song, and the rest is history.
So how is, I mean, this song really has changed your life. And then I want to talk a little bit about the creative process of being a creator. How has this changed you? I mean, that kind of was.
It really hasn't, because I have been a DJ all my life, right? Like, everybody thinks Whoop, There It Is this big Manhattan project where we're wearing lab coats and there was just these theories of how we were going to make this incredible hit song when it was nothing of the sort. All Whoop, There It is a song about dudes chasing women on a Friday night and having a drink, which is the theme of every country song, rock and roll song.
That is true. That is right? You are so, not wrong.
So it was just a simple song. And, you know, we made hundreds of songs, right? Mm-hmm. But that was the one that did it. And I have no words for it. And it changed my life in a way. I'm really honest about this. It did not change my life. I had achieved my goal, but it didn't change me, because I had been a DJ all my life, and I watched from that DJ booth stars come into my clubs, because everybody knew me. Yeah. And I would watch them rise and I would watch them fall. Mm-hmm. And I would watch some of them come in and treat people like crap. And those very people that they treated like crap would revel in their demise and they never came back.
Yeah.
And I vowed that I would never be that way. Plus, I was raised correctly. Right. Yeah. I respect people. It is not about me. It's about you. I give what I want first. Right.
Yeah.
And for me, I've never acted like a star. You don't act like a star. People don't treat you like a star. They treat you like I can only be DC. So why not be the best DC I can be?
Exactly. And
that's what I've always concentrated on. So I've never had those problems. You know, I mean, people still, I still can go, I can go anywhere I want to go and nobody recognize me, and I'm on television every day. And the reason is because I carry myself.
Well, right? Speaking of that, of being recognized, how did this commercial start? I mean, go with the Geico commercial, because that was brilliant. I mean, I'm singing that all the time.
I get a call, you know, we're mid pandemic. I get a call from my agent for acting, because I'm an actor. I'm a voice artist. I do search engine optimization. I'm a digital marketer. I've been a licensed commodities broker. I do video. I do everything, because I had to always be self-sufficient. So if somebody, you know, people, sometimes you try to hire people to do things for you and they can never do it right. Mm-hmm. So you better learn how to do it yourself. Then you can train people how to do it for your company. And now you have a team.
Yeah.
So that's been my history. And I'm in mid-pandemic. My agent calls me and says, you booked a Geico commercial. I'm like, why are you playing with me in this pandemic? Right? I haven't even auditioned for a Geico commercial because I'm thinking acting. And she's like, no, DC, they want a tag team. And I was like, oh. And because I know SEO, right, I had an experience in 2011 where everybody thought Barack Obama was in our music video. So I did a whole week of press because everybody was trying to find me and couldn't find me. And I was upset. And it was a traumatic experience because at the end of that week, doing CNN, ABC, the Stephen Colbert show, all these shows, I had nothing to show for it. And I said, that will never happen again. And back then, that's why I started my SEO career in digital marketing. And back then, you type in tag team, it was all wrestling. You type in tag team today, it's all tag team. And I went back and I checked my tag team phone. And sure enough, there was a message from Geico. We want you in this commercial. And I'm like, okay. But then they didn't wait. They went and found me. So because I can be found now, they went to my IMDb portal and they called my agent, which is synergy unimaginable because that's what they do. And they made the deal. I let them make the deal. I don't have to get lawyers. I don't have to do anything. And it is the biggest, most lucrative deal I've ever signed in my life. And then we got to work.
So how
And
did that come up with the ice cream and all that stuff? I mean, was it just kind of like a clear, clairvoyant moment?
Originally it was soup there is.
Oh, really?
For me as an actor, I'm going to prepare and I'm flipping through Seinfeld episodes trying to find the soup Nazi episode to get ideas, right? And they called back like, no, we're going to do scoop. There it is. We're going to do ice cream. And that was special to me because my father had just passed and he used to make us ice cream.
Oh.
And he would put the eggs and the sugar and the vanilla and the milk into the bowl, and we would get the cylinder ready with the ice and the rock salt. And then I churn 10 minutes, my brother would churn 5 minutes, and then two kids with big old spoons are eating ice cream right out of the cylinder. I wanted to bring that essence and that joy to the commercial. That started
Yeah.
it. And then I prepared. I said, I want to go in with probably 10 things that I can help make this commercial memorable, right? And I did that. And the night before, went to the director. I said, hey, I got some ideas. It's like, DC, whatever you want to do. I was like, okay, I tried to have a spin the scoop, but I couldn't make one. He's like, he'll be done tomorrow, DC. I was like, whoa. I go, kids love sprinkles. I don't know why, but I got a bunch of sprinkle things I want to do. And it's like, DC, we'll have a truckload of sprinkles for you. And we just went down the list. And the next morning we shot that thing. Could have shot five Geico commercials with all the innovative things that we did. They cast the right people. They cast Tasha the mother. They cast everybody the right way. And it was perfect. And we were done. And then maybe about a month, we did it in November. That next month they sent it to us. And I'm looking at it and I could not find anything. And believe me, I was looking for fault. I couldn't find anything. And I was very happy. And that commercial dropped on Christmas night at midnight. And my phone has not stopped ringing since.
So, as a creator, what inspires you? What I mean, just to kind of move on from the fun stuff to talk about, but what inspires you as a creator?
I have a tactic call. I call them hustle tactics, right? But I have a thing called learn how to learn. It's not enough just to learn. You have to learn how to learn, right? So the only thing that motivates me now is learning, right? I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how long it's going to take. I'm going to learn it because these are tools in your toolbox to handle any situation life throws at you. And it makes your creativity off the charts, right? Because I have put in my work over, I'm 55. All my life I've been into music. So that creativity has been nurtured, curated. It has been with me the whole time, and it is better now than it's ever been. So the problem is that I haven't touched a drum machine in 20 years. So the creativity has to catch up with the technology. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's fun, because now I'm learning. I'm learning how to do music production. I'm learning music theory. All the things I always wanted to learn, I thought I couldn't learn. Now I know. Because we all have things that we think it's over. We think it's too late. Or we think we don't have the capacity to learn them, when you have more than the capacity to learn them. And I've just always been tenacious with it, because I play offense. I don't think about the problems. I think about the solutions, right? There's enough people thinking about problems. There's enough people reacting to problems. There's enough people giving me excuses. And what I do is I just flip it into the Superman Bizarro world, because that's kind of what we're living in. if you want to think about it, this is a Bizarro world. So when people come to me with problems or excuses, I say thank you, because you've just given me five ways to come up with solutions to put in my toolbox to use for later. All these things are my motivation, right? My motivation is staying out of my feelings. My motivation is being able to sequester my ego and my pride. Because if you can sequester your pride, like, I love to admit when I'm wrong, because I know it kills my pride, and I'm dying inside. Ah, I was wrong. Ah, inside. But I don't react to it, right? And what that does, 10 minutes later, you don't forget about it, right? So why react to it and then let it fester? See, when you react to it instantly, it festers, because you're always thinking about it. But if you just put it in your pocket and use it for later, it turns into positive energy that you can use for something that's valuable later on, right? Mm-hmm. So I love to be wrong, because it's the path to being right. But the most part, it sequesters my ego. And then once it sequesters my ego and my pride, now my mind is open to all possibilities, because I have nothing emotionally holding me back.
Wow. I love to learn too. And that inspires me to learn more. It's an inspiration. I mean, to learn.
You know, and I owe it to my parents, because my parents worked me like a dog. You know, I've been my mom's prep cook since I was 5 years old. But here's the thing, this is just like swimming. People's like, you know how to swim? I was like, you know what? I have never, ever not known how to swim. I've never not known how to swim, right? Mm-hmm. I can't even remember when I learned how to swim.
Yeah.
Because my father, I got pictures, little Super 8 reels where he would throw me in the pool when I was 1 year old.
Yeah.
And he just taught me how to swim before I even knew anything. Same thing would work. So now, as a grown man, I don't fear work. Right. So I don't care what it is. It can be hard. I want it to be hard, because I know everybody else is not going to do it.
Yeah.
And if I can learn it, then I can make it custom to me. And that's the beauty of me learning all these new things and having tutors and all these people that are helping me, is that they're not teaching me. They're teaching me how to work within my workflow. Yeah. That's prerequisite. All the tutors there be like, okay, you're going to learn it this way. You're going to learn it my way or the highway. I'm like, okay, highway is right over there. But I'm still going to try to learn it from you.
Yeah.
But what I had to do is say, hey, I need you to teach me how to use this software according to my workflow. And if I have a voiceover audition, well, how can I make my voice sound better? How can I make my voice sound like this week on NBC? How can I do that? Because that's what I'm trying to do. That's my workflow. I'm auditioning every day. So how do I make my sound system better? How do I make our show better? Can you teach me how to do that? And now, after 6 months, I am back up to speed, and the creativity is, I have a nuclear power plant of creativity now, unmatched, because I know where I can put my music and make way more money than I could have ever made anywhere else without having to be an artist.
All right, I want to put your learning to the test. I want you to teach me. Mm-hmm. Teach me something about being a voice actor.
Okay, so voice acting is, and it took me a long time to get this, doing exactly what I'm doing right now, just having a conversation in my real voice, right? Now, it used to be this week, every night, you know what I mean? This night at the club, we're doing this. It used to be that. Mm-hmm. But the paradigm shift. Like, when the pandemic hit, I was like, what am I going to do? Like everybody else. And I said, I'm going to do this. And I've been doing this for 10 years. And I went back to all my studies, all my things that I recorded. And I went back to 2009 and listened to my first tape, my first lesson when I used to go to New York and LA. And it was heartbreaking because I had to listen to my old self, 10-year-ago self, talk in a conversation. And I realized that I was the one getting in the way of my own progress, right? And what I did is I listened and I was like, this is just irritating. But then I was like, this is inspiring because I know what they're talking about now. I didn't know the language, right? Then I did that first voiceover over, and it was angelic because I had finally had mastery over my voice. And then it was perfect. I went through 40 sessions back, that I had recorded, and this was the month of March when everybody thought we were going to turn to zombies and start eating each other, right? The first month of COVID. And it was sometimes in life, there's perfect timing. I start booking instantly because everything was, we're all in this together. COVID, right? Every commercial is that. And I started booking. And then my LA acting coach said, hey, I'm casting this movie in Nebraska. Can you get there? I was like, yeah, I got a hazmat suit. I'll be there. Shot my first movie.
What
Then
was
shot
it?
my second movie. Then
What was it?
shot the first movie. It's called My Corona, about the first couple weeks in the coronavirus. And then they shot, I did this just for footage, just to have footage for my reel. And then they did a documentary about how to shoot a picture in a pandemic, right? I mean, it was brilliant. And that is, I think it dropped last week on Amazon. It's called My Corona, right? And I shot my second movie, which is The Mediator in South Georgia, from a producer that I know that was like, come on down, I got something for you. And then I shot a Publix campaign for the fall. Then I got a Tyler Perry ADR episode. And then here comes Geico. And I have been putting in work the whole time. So I say the main thing I can tell you about voiceover today is that if you're going to do voiceover, read a script like you're me and you are having this conversation. Right? Just that's the only way, because if you try to put something on it, if you're trying to be perfect, you're not, they're not going to want you. They want the person that feels like they're talking to them, and you give them a visual, and now you're talking. And there's so many different forms of a voiceover. I'm just talking about the commercial, right? But you got promo, you got animation, you got narration, you've got movie trailer, you've got all these different types which have different mastery that you have to achieve to do each one. And I thought I would never be good at it because I just thought I'd never be good at it, but I didn't quit. Sometimes things take a long time, and I never quit. And voiceover has saved me time and time again.
Now, one thing you said you've learned digital marketing, SEO. What now with SEO? I mean, you said you wanted to with when you Googled tag team, all the tag team wrestling partners showed up. How do you get something so ubiquitous with the with tag team? I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, I mean, it's such a generalized
You have to.
term. How do you make that appear for you, work for you?
It's called disambiguation, like you just said, right? Because Google gives you the recipe, right? Google is a robot. Google is not a person. Google doesn't have emotion. Google is not in his feelings. Google is a robot. Google gives you the recipe to feed the bot, right? So if you feed the bot, are you going to be a short order cook, or are you going to be a five-star Michelin chef? Most people not even trying to cook for the bot. They ordering Grubhub for the bot. That don't work, right? So for me, it is about, one of the ways you disambiguate yourself from everything is a Wikipedia page, a proper Wikipedia page, or Wikidata, right? Because Wikidata is new, but Wikidata are the references for your Wikipedia page, right? So Wikidata has thing, Wikidata has this these little forms that you fill out when it's like, okay, Tag team is not tag team wrestling. Tag team is not tag team Sally and Sue, the real estate duo. Tag team is not tag team Pokemon. Tag team mm-hmm. is not this, right? But then mm-hmm. tag team is, and then you give your nicknames, it gives DC the Brain Supreme, is all the things that, all the words that deal with you, and mm-hmm. then you give all the words that don't. And then all of a sudden you start seeing yourself separate. Because it used to be that big square, that big rectangle on the right side called the knowledge panel, right? Mm-hmm. On the right side of a page, if you type in your name and you got some stuff about you, you're going to have that big knowledge panel on the right side of the page. And it's like the cat with the laser pointer. You go right to it.
Yeah.
Got to have one of those. And how you control those, what goes into those is Wikidata. So then all of a sudden, it used to be tag team with all these wrestlers in it, and then we had a little bit of sliver at the bottom. And now you do it, it's all tag team. Because I had to learn how to do that, man.
Yeah.
And I went and sometimes all you have to do is ask nicely. I go to my mentors and I'll be like, hey man, I'm really struggling with this. Can you please help me? What's mm-hmm. the ticket? It's like, no, I got you. And I always ask, was like, how can you help me? Because you didn't come at no angles. You needed help and you asked me, so I got to help you. And that's how I am, right? So for the whole SEO thing, the key is you have to understand what it is. And I ask everybody this question. If you were looking for you, what would you type into Google?
I would type, if I was looking for me, I would probably type my byline.
No. Why are you looking for you?
Why am I looking? I'm looking to see how, I don't know why I'm looking for myself.
See what I'm saying? Okay, yeah. So exactly. So what services do you have? What services do you offer? What okay. are you a part of? Are you a part of any organizations? Do you know how to do things, right?
Yeah. Okay, I got you.
So, you see what I'm saying? So yeah. You have to know, if you were looking for you, what is your expertise? If you're looking, like right now, I'm working on public speaking. So if you're looking for a public speaker, hey, let me get myself in front of the casting directors or the agents who do that, right? If you're looking for new public speaking talent, I know how to get in front of you because you just typed it into Google. You know how you type in something into Google, you see all the suggestions?
Mm-hmm.
That means everybody on earth is asking those questions, and those are the top questions, their answers. All you got to do is answer that question.
Okay.
Right? It's almost
it's
this perfect analogy. I'm driving, I get in a car accident, I break my leg. I'm like, hurry up, please call 911. Oh, never mind. There's an ambulance right there.
Yeah.
The thing that you were looking for is in front of you, and you're like, whoa, this is my lucky day. But it's not, because I know that you're gonna try to find, ask that question. So I need to be there when you ask that question, so you see me first.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go for the big stuff, because everybody's competing for the big stuff. You go for the little stuff. You don't need 100,000 people to look for you and use your service. You can't handle that. All you need is 10.
So how important is it to be diversified in your skill set? I mean, it seems like that's more important now than ever.
I don't know. This comes from me in the clubs.
Yeah.
Because in the clubs, you know, I made my salary, but I wasn't. So here's the thing in the clubs. Clubs taught me how to hustle, but the clubs also taught me that I'm not just a DJ, right? Mm-hmm. I am your sound guy. I am your light tech. I do your graphics work. I do your TV shows, I mean, your television ads. I do your video. I do your radio ads. I'm your voiceover, right? I keep the DJ booth clean, right? And in essence, what I've done is make myself invaluable.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, I get to hustle. So I can sell things out my DJ booth, mix tapes. I can sell hand fans if the girls get hot, anything I could think of, right? Mm-hmm. So they're hustles. So it's like, if I just go and just DJ and that's all I do, well, if I get fired,
I
gotta go knock somebody else off of their DJ job. But
yeah.
If I can do all the things that everybody can do, and you got to hire 15 people to do just do what I do,
yeah,
you're not going to let me go. I made myself, and I tell people this that are in jobs they can't stand. Learn how Sally and Harry and buck and everybody does their job. Because one day they're going to be sick for a little bit and somebody's going to be like, can anybody do this? You'd be like, I got it.
Yep. Raise your
And
hand. Yeah.
you're not doing it for the company. You're not doing it for anybody. You're not doing it to kiss butt. You're doing it because when it goes down and they might have to get rid of you, one, they might keep you because you're invaluable. Or if they do have to get rid of you put in the work to make the transition to the next bigger thing easier. And you've acquired skills that are going to serve you later because these skills become custom to you.
Now it seems like you've reinvented yourself over the years. I mean, you were at the beginning of your career, you were a music guy, you were a DJ, but you're a Renaissance guy now. I mean, can you talk about how you've reinvented yourself?
Always, you got to educate yourself, right? Okay, so here's another instance of taking something bad and making it positive, right? We've been in a we were in a 20-year legal battle over the rights of womb. There it is. Now, I could have looked at the glass half empty, but I didn't. I looked at it half full. And I said, the only way I'm going to prevail is if I learn the language of lawyers. So I basically better become a paralegal. And that's kind of what I did. And I learned what motions were. I learned what all this gibberish was. I learned how to put together discovery. I learned how to do all these things over the years because I didn't think about it. I didn't think about the trauma of me being inside of a legal battle. I was preparing because I knew I would have my day in court. Everything is preparation, right? Everything is preparation. Everything is strategy. So I said, you know what? I will never, ever let someone take advantage of my money again. So let me learn about finance. Year 2000. I'm like, I like commodities. I like that. I end up becoming a licensed commodities broker, right? Passed the Series 3 test. But you know how I did it? Anytime you got to take a test, see how many times you can fail it. I could take it 3 times. I said, okay, let me go in and just fail the first one just to see what's on it. I tried to pass it, but I just, I got like a 69 or 68. But I did it just so I could see what was on the test so I could just be steered in the right direction because I was busy. And then the second time I passed it. Now I'm a licensed commodities broker. I'm working for three different brokerage firms for commodities. Right. But it wasn't, and I'm DJing at the same time, but it wasn't for me. But it did what the initial goal was to become financially literate. The year 2000, I looked at CNBC, didn't know what they were talking about. Year 2002, I knew everything they were talking about. Then I got into the self-help thing, right? And you don't have to, there's no magic pill, but you can take one of them pills from each book and make your hustle better. And I started running. I said, learn. One of the books was like, learn, I'm not learn, but run your life like a corporation. Well, how do you do that? Well, let's start by getting this credit fixed, right? Learn how to do credit, get my credit fixed. Well, what kind of company are you gonna be? Well, maybe nope, don't be an LLC. You're gonna be an S corp or you're gonna be a C corp. Well, I started my company CLG Investments Inc. in 2002. Had it ever since. Because I run my life like a corporation. Every aspect of my life is my corporation. You just have to be able to explain it that way, right? If I and I learned. And it's fun learning when you're putting in the reps and you're hands-on and it's you. Like people ask, because I'm a publicist too. But people say, man, how much would it charge?
Of
Give me.
course you're a publicist. Why not?
But see, this is where tragedy always meets opportunity, right? So the Geico commercial, I was sad because usually that's a career that just blows a career up, right? It reinvigorates a career. Not us, because we can't do shows. So I said, well, get a publicist so you can blow up the commercial along with your acting and your voiceover. And all the publicists were like, well, we're in a pandemic. I mean, we don't know how to do a commercial. Usually you go to New York and do a junket, it's like their old paradigm. And they gave me every reason why they couldn't when they should have gave me one reason why they could. So whenever that happens, whenever I get stuck, whenever people tell me they can't do something or they don't want to do something, I join an organization, society, or association. Because those entities are filled with people who love their profession, right? And they've been doing it 10, 20, 30, 40 years. That's why they're in that organization, to help everybody else. And I joined the Public Relations Society of America.
Yes.
Yeah. 2 days in, I'm in this this Zoom cast with the CEO of this PR firm. And I'm like, ooh, what can I add? Okay, I'm about to do this press release. Our press release is still relevant. And they're like, well, what's it for? And I'm like, well, I'm kind of featured in a National Geico commercial. Why did I say that? Just blew up the entire Zoom cast. I love him. That can't be him. My kids love him. My granny loves him. And it was like, okay. Back to DC's question, our press release is relevant. And the CEO pauses. She said, yes, because the whole last year has been COVID. Yeah. The whole last year has been political. And here you guys come just dancing, throwing sprinkles, spending scoops in DC, your smile. Of course it's going to work. You're going to go here for all the publicists. You're going to go here for all the TV talk shows. You're going to go here for all the podcasts, here for all the journalists. You're going to make sure your pitches are tight. She gave me the entire breadth of her experience in 10 minutes, and it has changed my life forever. And it has opened doors for me that I have never, ever thought possible. And it is the reason that you and I are talking right now, because I do 3 or 4 of these a day.
Yeah.
I was already doing them before I joined the PR thing, but this now, I know PR inside out. And then what I've done is I've made it custom to me, because everybody's looking to do press releases as a PR thing, but I'm looking to do press releases as SEO, because I know how to make them stick, because I know SEO.
Yes.
All the things that people would tell me back in the day, DC, you're a jack of all trades, master of none. Like, well, if you live long enough, hustle hard enough. Play offense, don't quit, learn how to learn. You become masterful at all of those hustles, all of those trades. And they come back to serve you in ways where you don't even realize, because now you're ambidextrous. You can go left hand, right hand. It don't even matter, because those skills were custom to you.
Yeah.
And now your creativity gives you ways to solve problems and to get to solutions and to have dreams and goals that are achievable, because you put in the work and you didn't quit. You might have felt like it, but you didn't quit. Yeah. And I just don't quit.
Some days are hard.
Every day is hard.
Yeah.
You know what? This is what I tell people. It never gets easier.
Yeah.
Right? Never. But it does get better.
And if you want something bad enough,
it gets better. It gets better, because everything is levels, right? Everything is stepping stones, right? Everything. You have to be creative. And then once you get your big ball of things that you do well, it all becomes one. And then this idea can nurture ideas or give opportunities to these three things that have nothing to do with each other. But because you have mastery at those things, you come up with a creative idea to think outside the box and change the paradigm for that whole industry and just get your way in. You infiltrate it from the sides, right? That's what I do. I'm sitting here. We just did a second Geico commercial, and we have our own ice cream. Geico made us ice cream.
What's the flavor?
What do you think? French vanilla, Rocky Road, chocolate, peanut butter, cookie dough. But we didn't, you know, when they first tried to do it, they threw the kitchen sink in like the first verse. Then we were like, no, if you're going to do Rocky Road, just take the marshmallows. Right.
Yeah.
And the marshmallows are frozen, so they have the consistency of a malted milk ball.
Yeah.
The Whoppers, right?
Oh.
And it's perfect, because and here's the beauty, because the Whopper, the only problem with the Whopper is that sometimes the chocolate is too thick. But these are thin, so when you bite them, you have a texture in your mouth that's just like, oh, that nougat milk. Then you got the peanut butter chips, and then the cookie dough is just, you don't even taste the cookie dough, and it's vanilla base. And it's perfect. And there are no sprinkles on it, but everybody's like, we got to have sprinkles. I said, if you're going to have sprinkles, use chocolate sprinkles. And there's your chocolate fix.
Yeah.
Right? And I guarantee you, I watch people eat this ice cream. Like, you know, you ain't fed your dog all day, and you come home and you drop that soft dog food on them, and they ate it like dogs.
Yeah.
They weren't even looking for the director. Because they had ice cream, and the dancers were supposed to, you know, be eating it and dancing. And they were just sitting there eating it and not even listening. And then we had a big, giant, it's called an activation, where all the employees of the marketing agency that, does Geico stuff, the marketing agency, were there. And it was like an ice cream social. We spoke, we had a good time. And I'm going around looking in the trash. And I know people looking at me like, what is wrong with him? But I'm looking in the trash to see how many cups have ice cream in them. And every last one was empty.
Wow.
Now,
How proud would your dad be of that? Because I mean, you said you made ice cream with him. I mean, and you have your own ice cream. I mean,
but here's the thing, though. Here's the beauty of it. Ever since my father passed, the world has opened up for me. And I know he's shining on me. I know this is him, right? I've always been successful, but he's always he it feels like him and the Lord is guiding me in ways that I feel it, but I know he's with me, right? And I say that because I've always dreaded that, but it ended up being that it was, I know, like, there's no such thing, but my father had the perfect going away, right? Because he wasn't sick. He had ailments, but he just broke him down. He had the gallbladder surgery, and then he just didn't really do right. And he just started, deteriorating, but not in a cancer way or anything like that. And, right when he was on, we were having a big meeting with the doctors, and the doctor's like, well, what do you think, Dr. Glenn? He's like, look, man, let me tell you something, doc. My children, the only problem I got is my kids won't let me damn die. I was like, all right, you want to, okay, cool. And it was like, well, we had a discussion, like, might want to start trying to take them to hospice. So I was like, nah, we ain't gonna do that. We're gonna bring the hospice to the house. And I told my brother a couple months before, and he didn't believe me, but I knew it. And my father passed away in his own house, in his own bed, in his sleep, on his 82nd birthday. Right? Like, for me to, nothing was left unsaid, nothing was left undone. And for me to want even more, that would be greedy and selfish. Because he was ready to go. He outlived all his friends. And I guess when that happens, it does something to you. All his grandchildren were off to college. I mean, he was ready to go. Because my mother has Alzheimer's, that kind of wore him down. He was just ready to go. And we gave him a home. It was a party. I swear it was a party, and there was no sadness. And of course, I miss my father, but it was the most smooth sailing death experience I have ever witnessed in my life. Because, he taught me right. And my mother prepared me. Death is a part of life. You mourn and you keep it moving, right? And if a person has lived a full life, that's all. I mean, that's the greatest gift of life. Right now, it's tragic when somebody passes when they're young, and but I still use the same approach. It's like it's a part of life and it's gonna happen, so you better ride it till the wheels fall off. And that's why I am what I have things I still want to do. I got entities that are gonna last forever. Whoop, there it is, ain't going nowhere in this commercial. It's definitely not going nowhere. Like, I asked people this. I said, what other catchphrase in a big commercial do you remember? Because now we're in the rare air with Where's the Beef?
Where's the beef? Yep. I was yes.
That's it. That's the only one I could think of. But that's the only one I'm not saying that's the only one, but that's the only one I could think of that was big like that. Where's the Beef? Now it's Scoop, there it is. They're gonna be saying sprinkles forever, right? Like, because I'm gonna make it so, because I know SEO and I'm gonna archive my stuff. I'm going to make a tag team museum for all generations to watch and to look at. That's why we love Shakespeare. That's why we love Da Vinci. That's why we love all those artists, because somebody archived their stuff. Shakespeare's friend Roger was way better than him, but his house burned down with all the scrolls. So nobody never knew who he was. That's the difference, man. That's the difference, right? And now, there's people who have passed on, who were great artists that nobody ever knew about. And that's why I love Wikidata, because then you can give people their due through data, through all the, because what's happening now is a transition from the physical world to the digital world.
Yeah.
And if you're still in the physical world, your papers are going to rot. All that paper stuff, all that physical stuff, you're never going to see it again. And it's almost like, you know how like somebody will throw out a storage unit and somebody be walking by and you'll see some pictures in the trash and be like, wait a minute, these are good. And they pull everything out of the trash and then they do their research and find out that this photographer took these pictures. And then they're like, this is so good, I am going to start an exhibit with these pictures and this artist. And now that artist is known forever, right?
Yeah.
Because somebody found their stuff in the trash and archived it. Now, if that trash had went to the dumpster, nobody would have never known about that person ever.
Yeah.
That's why, that's my motivation. That is my, you ask me, how do I keep it going? It's like, I keep learning things that inspire me to inspire. And what else is there? Right? What
that's
else
right. is there?
And all I'm doing is my goal is to talk to people, anybody who's willing to listen, about the things I wish someone had talked to me about when I was a young man. Right?
Right.
That's it. Yeah. And I know if I was a young man, I wouldn't have listened, but I would have appreciated somebody talking to me and saying, hey, watch out for the administration part if you do these record deals, because they're going to get you if you do that. Right? Yeah. But I wouldn't change it, because the education I got from the trauma in my life has been invaluable. And 28 years ago, I planted a whoop, there it is seed. And now it is a redwood. It ain't going nowhere.
All right. DC Glenn, we are at our end here. And this is probably the longest podcast that I've had. So this is a good one. Whoop, there it is. So.
Hey, man, I want to thank you for letting me come on here and run my mouth. I love running my mouth, right?
I could listen to you all day. If I had a 3-hour podcast, it would fill all 3 hours.
And before I go, I gotta do this. Sprinkles. Peace.
DC Glenn, thank you very much for being on my podcast.
You got it.